Amen. Thank you so much, choir. We appreciate that good singing, just leading us to the throne of grace as we worship His matchless name today. And I have a special New Year's message for you, so I want you to turn in your copy of God's Word to the Old Testament book of prophecy, Ezekiel chapter 37. Ezekiel chapter 37. If you've not brought your Bible with you today, that's all right. Just reach right in front of you. Get one of those black pew Bibles and turn with us to page number 1001, and you'll find yourself at our text for the day. That's Ezekiel chapter 37, beginning in verse 1. And I do encourage you to keep your Bible open on your lap or to your side as my sermon and its points will be coming from this text. You're going to get 40, 50, 60% more out of the message as you see it unfolding before your very eyes from God's holy, inspired, and inerrant Word. Ezekiel chapter 37, verses 1 through 10. The title of today's message is Revival. And what a revival we read about today. It was a revival in a boneyard. As a matter of fact, there's an old spiritual that derives its lyrics from this story. You might have sung it as a child or heard it about them dry bones, the bones in the valleys. And then it talks about how the head bone is connected to the neck bone, and the neck bone's connected to the shoulder bone, and the shoulder bone's connected to the arm bone, and the arm bone's connected to the hand bone. I just loved that song growing up, and we're going to see where that song got its inspiration from here in Ezekiel chapter 37. But it's more than a song, and it's more than a story, because it shows us how we can have a fresh start in this new year. Spiritually speaking, we call that a revival. And I'm speaking to some homes here today. I'm speaking to some students here today. I am speaking to some parents and some married couples and some families and some businesses. And yes, some ministries, some churches that need revival. And I want you to know as we unpack Ezekiel chapter 37, we see how that revival can unfold in our lives individually, but just not as individuals, but also corporately. I mean, this passage of Scripture has wonderful application to a nation. When you think about the people that Ezekiel was prophesying to, it was the divided kingdom of Israel. They were divided into the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom, red states and blue states. And I mean, they were split right down the middle. You think a nation has problems by being divided? Well, you should have gone back in Ezekiel's day and seen what Israel was all about. And a lot of people look at our nation today and they just wring their hands with panic and fear and hopelessness, saying there's no way that we can ever again be one nation under God. Well, you read the book of Ezekiel and see what God did for that divided kingdom. And I guarantee if He can do what He did in that day, He can do it again today if we'll put our faith and our trust in Him. But it's not only revival corporately for a nation, it's revival for homes and families that find themselves divided. There's no harmony. There's no peace at home. God can bring renewal and new life into your home today if you'll just do what is done here in the book of Ezekiel. If you'll just follow by faith God's instructions as outlined here in this wonderful prophecy on renewal. And then it also has wonderful application for our church. And I constantly and continually pray that God will give First Baptist Church Noonan a heaven-sent revival. And as a result of that heaven-sent revival, I pray that it'll just be an area-wide spiritual awakening that will lead in the conversion and evangelism of many lost people here in our community and in our region and around the world. So if you're excited about what God may be doing in revival here in this church, give me a loud, hearty amen. Amen. Let's read about it here in Ezekiel chapter 37, verses 1 through 10. It says, "The hand of the Lord came upon me." You see, Ezekiel's talking here about himself. He says, "The hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley. And it was full of bones. Then he caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, there were many in the open valley, and indeed they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? So I answered, O Lord God, you know. Again he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. And I will put sinews on you and bring flesh upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live. Then you shall know I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise and suddenly a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. Indeed, as I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them over, but there was no breath in them. Also, he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied, and as he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceedingly great army. I want you to notice something about this miracle of revival, and revival is a miracle. It is a move of God as God's people cooperate with him and his Spirit's leading in their lives. And I want you to notice how it began here. It began with a very desperate situation for your notes. It was a bad situation, and we read about that situation as our first point in verses 1 through 3. It says there in verse 1, Ezekiel speaking testimonially, that the hand of the Lord brought him out. This was not a decision that Ezekiel had made on his own. This was God's moving and orchestrating circumstances in his life. But the hand of the Lord not only brought him out. In verse 1, this same hand set him down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. I just want to begin by asking you a question. Has God ever put you in the middle of a bad situation? Some of you right now are starting out this new year and you're in a terrible situation financially. Maybe you're in a terrible situation with your education or in your career or in your work. Some of you would have to honestly say, you know, my family is in an awful circumstance. Some would have to look at our own personal lives and say, you know, there's been times when I've been so much closer to God and I just feel a million miles away from him today. Well, friend, I want you to know God has allowed you to be put into this situation so that you can, first of all, wait and watch God move mightily in your life as he did here in Ezekiel's life and in the nation of Israel. It says also there in verse 1 that God brought him out in the Spirit of the Lord. This is talking about the Holy Spirit, the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit. And it's an interesting word here in this Old Testament book. In the Hebrew tongue, it's the word ruach. I like saying that because it clears your throat a little bit. If you need to clear your throat a little bit this morning, say it with me. Ruach. Oh, that's good. Some of you need a spittoon now, don't you? All right. Well, ruach is used 52 times in this Old Testament book of Ezekiel. But let me tell you something interesting about this word ruach. It's not only used to describe the Holy Spirit, but it's also the same word that's used to describe breath in verses 5, 6, 8, 9, and 10. We see multiple uses of that word breath. It's the same word that is used to describe the Holy Spirit. And you know, it reminds me so much of the Holy Spirit's ministry in the writing of this book right here, not just any book, because this book is inspired of God. That's what Paul said to young Timothy, all scripture is given by inspiration. But literally, when he said that this book is given by inspiration, he said that this book is God-breathed. And so whenever we're talking about the Holy Spirit, we're talking about the agent of inspiration. And that same agent of inspiration that inspired this book and that moved in the life of Ezekiel is the one that's here today. He's moving amongst us. And he's lighting a fire under a lot of us today, saying, hey, listen, you're in a bad place. You're in a bad situation, but it's time to perk up. It's time to pay attention and watch what God is going to do by the power of His Holy Spirit. But let me tell you something else interesting about this word, ruach. It's not only is used here in the Old Testament to describe the Spirit, as we've seen here in verse 1, and breath, as we've seen in verses 5, 6, and 8, 9, and 10, but it's also used to describe the word wind. And that word wind is used here in verse 9. And it reminds us again in the New Testament of how the Holy Spirit is identified as the wind. The Greek word for that is pneuma, P-N-E-U-M-A. And from it we get our English word pneumonia. It speaks about our lungs and a problem in our lungs, a problem with our wind. Well, Jesus spoke about this Holy Spirit in terms of the wind when he was testifying to Nicodemus over in John chapter 3 in verse 8. And this is what he told Nicodemus. He says, "The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from or where it goes." Why? Because you can't see it. You can't see the wind. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Let me ask you a question today. Can you remember a time in your life when you were born of the Spirit? I'm talking about the fact, can you remember a time when you became a believer in the Lord God? You became a Christian. You might not remember the exact date or exact time, but do you remember the time that you bowed before Jesus and by faith received His forgiveness, His grace, and His mercy? Well, let me tell you what happened to you when you did that. The same thing that happened to Nicodemus here in John chapter 3. The Spirit of God breathed His wind into you, and you received the power of Almighty God, and you received all of Him in one moment. Instantaneously, you were baptized in the Holy Spirit. But the reason so many of us don't see evidence of that in our lives is because that Spirit who indwelled us and baptized us at the moment of salvation is just lying dormant in us. He's lying dormant in us because we're not feeding the Spirit by reading the Word of God, by coming to church, by fellowshipping with other believers. And it's when you do that, boy, that something happens. There's a quickening in your spirit. And that wind starts blowing in your life, and it starts blowing around you. And the breath of God starts filling your spiritual lungs. And you start experiencing what we call revival, and some of us so desperately need that move of God today in our lives. Now I want to go on here still in verse 1 because it continues to describe this depressing scene. The Bible says here in verse 1 that as Ezekiel was surveying the situation, he saw that this valley didn't have just one or two bones, but that it was filled with bones. There had been devastation on a huge level that he was right in the middle of. And some of you might say, you know, I'm in the same depressing situation that Ezekiel was in. Well, you're right where God wants you, because God can use those discouraging circumstances to bring revival in your life and in the life of those around you. Now look at verse 2. It says there were many bones. Now, these were skeletal remains. I just want you to get this picture in your mind of what Ezekiel was seeing. He was not seeing complete skeletons. He was seeing individual bones that were scattered all over the place. They were disjointed. There was no unity. There was no harmony in them. And so many times, churches and homes and nations have no cohesion. They have no unity. They have no harmony. And that is a sure sign of the need of revival. You just think about your home today. Is there sweet peace in your home today? Is there a unified spirit in your home today? How about your ministry? Could it be described as the oneness of mind that Paul described to the believers in the book of Philippi, to the Philippians? Oh, friend, that's God's standard. And if there's not oneness, if there's not unity, it is a sure sign that you need revival. And people had been divided. They've been divided by the devil. They've been decimated by him. And God brings his life-giving spirit even to the entire nation of Israel. Now notice something else here in verse 2. As Ezekiel surveyed the scene, he called it an open valley. But literally, it was a battlefield. Don't get the idea that this desert floor of bones were bodies that died of natural causes. No, they were slain. As a matter of fact, if you fast forward to verse 10, it talks about these bones coming together and being a mighty army. And so this was an army that was once fully intact and on the battlefield and moving forward for God. But they were slain. They were devastated, and now they were disjointed and scattered all over the place. I tell you something today, friend. The devil's alive and well. In John 10:10, Jesus says this is what the devil wants to do. He wants to come to kill, to steal, and destroy. Dear believer, the devil would love nothing more than to kill your joy, than to steal your witness and your testimony. And he's going to do everything within his power to do that. And when I look at this battlefield full of dry bones, I see an army that once had a powerful testimony for God. They once had the joy of the Lord that inspired them to move forward into battle. But no more. The devil had robbed them of absolutely all of that. They needed revival. And the Bible also says here in verse 2 that these bones were very dry. The reason the Holy Spirit inspires Ezekiel to point out the fact that these bones were very dry is to show us the degree of death that was in these bones. They had been lying out in the hot sun, and they were sun baked. They were sun dried. There was no marrow in them. There was no chance of life in them. And that's the way some of you feel today. Some of you say, "Preacher, I just feel bone dry spiritually. I don't feel any life-giving sap flowing through my life. I feel like a walking dead man. I feel like a walking dead woman." Well, you just wait and see what God does for a seemingly hopeless situation. Go on here in verse 3, and notice in verse 3, God asks a question, and what a searching question it is there in verse 3 that he asked the prophet Ezekiel. He says, "Son of man, can these bones live?" Now, from any human observation, I mean, you don't have to be an expert in medicine. You don't have to be a biologist. You don't have to be an expert in the field of anatomy to answer that question realistically from a human perspective. When God says, "Can these bones live?" the answer is pretty easy from a human perspective. But Ezekiel is filled with the wisdom of God, and he doesn't answer from a human perspective. Look at his answer there in verse 3. "O Lord God, you know." God, this decision is not in my hands. It is not defined by my human intellect or experience. God, I know, as the Bible says, that what is impossible with man is possible with you. I know that through Christ I can do all things who strengthens me. And so some of you are looking at your situation today. It's bone dry. No chance, no hope for life. And the world is asking you, can anything good come from this? Don't be tempted to answer from your human perspective. Answer from your faith in God and what God can do. God specializes in impossibilities. And so let's move on then from this situation to now number 2, the sermon that God instructs Ezekiel to preach. Look there in verse 4. It says, "Again, he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you and you shall live. I'll put sinews on you and bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin and put breath in you and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord." Think about what faith it took for Ezekiel to preach to these dry bones. I mean, they didn't even have ears. I've preached to some churches like that before. And some of you feel that way at home. You say, "Oh, he's turned me off." Or maybe he says, "Oh, she won't listen to me." Or the kids, they just ignore me. Nobody's going to pay any attention to me. You could feel just like Ezekiel did. But when God says, "Share my word, I don't care if they don't have an ear or not. You be faithful to God and you share what God has put on your heart and watch the Lord move in an impossible situation." Now look there in verse 7. We see two miracles here beginning in verse 7. We see a miracle of sound in verse 7, then we see a miracle of sight. And for those of you that want to go a little deeper in this, you ought to write in the margin of your Bible, Acts chapter 2. What happened in Acts chapter 2? Acts chapter 2 was the day of Pentecost when God poured out His Spirit on the church of the living God. And there in Acts chapter 2, just like here in verses 7 and 8, we see a miracle of sound and a miracle of sight. I'll point those out to you as we go through here. Look there in verse 7 where we see the miracle of sound. He says, "So I prophesied." He started preaching his sermon. "And I, as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise and suddenly a rattling and the bones came together, bone to bone." You know what it says over there after Peter's sermon in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost? This is what it says about the miracle of sound. It said there was a sound that came from heaven as a mighty rushing wind and filled the whole house where they were sitting. And in Acts 2, verse 2, it said that this happened suddenly. Can you find the word suddenly in verse 7? It's right here, just like in Acts chapter 2. This miracle of sound happens suddenly without any expectation or anticipation whatsoever. Some of you came to church today. You were not expecting a thing. You were not anticipating a thing. But the Spirit of God is in this church. He's moving from pew to pew and from person to person. And God wants to do something suddenly and unexpectedly in your life. Now, I realize that in a lot of churches, there's a lot of rattling going on today. There's a lot of commotion going on today. I mean, their calendars are full of activities. A lot of rattling going on, but it's not from the Spirit of God. The kind of rattling we want is the kind of rattling that happened here in verse 7, where the noise, the miracle of noise, was people getting up and coming together and forming a mighty army. But it was not only a miracle of sound. Skip on down in verse 8. It was a miracle of sight. Look at there in verse 8. He says, indeed, as I looked, he's using his eyes now, not his ears, as I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them and the skin covered them over, but there was no breath in them. You know, this reminds me so much again of Acts chapter 2, this time in verse 3. After the miracle of sound, where there was a mighty rushing wind in that day of Pentecost, there was a miracle of sight. And this is the way Acts chapter 2, verse 3 puts it. Dr. Luke said, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, I looked, and there was the appearance of divided tongues as of fire upon each one of them, each one of the believers at Pentecost. But look at that last statement. I just kind of read over it quickly there in verse 8. I mean, there's a miracle of sound. The bones came together. There's a miracle of sight. There's flesh upon these bones now. But look at what it says there in the last part of verse 8. There was no breath in them. There was no ruach in them. There was no spirit in them. These were nothing more than just cadavers that had no life at this point. And that describes many people today who need revival. I mean, you've got the formation of a body and the movement of a body, but there's no energy in you. There's no life-giving sap in you that moves you forward in the power of Almighty God. And so that's why we move from the subject of the sermon to the Spirit. Skip with me there to our third point in verse 9. In verse 9 it says, also he said to me, prophesy to the breath, ruach, same word as spirit. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds. Again, the word wind here is the word ruach, the same as the Holy Spirit, the same that is spoken of in John chapter 3, verse 8. O breath, and breathe on these slain that they may live. That word live means to be quickened, revived. They were once alive, but now they're dead. God, you send your spirit into them. You send your wind. You send your breath into them so that they can live again. In verse 10, so I prophesied, and as he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceedingly great army. Again, in Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, after the miracle of sound, the mighty rushing wind in verse 2, after the miracle of sight, divided tongues upon the heads of each believer, there was then the giving of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit empowered the Church of the Living God to be the army of witnesses that God had commissioned them to be. Oh, the message and the challenge is a simple one today, friend. It's a simple one. Wake up from your slumbering. Wake up from your stagnation. Open your life to the Spirit of God filling and moving in your life today. And watch Him work, no matter how depressing your surroundings and your circumstance and your situation is. And watch Him bring glory to His name as He brings revival to your life, to mine, to this church, and to our sister churches. Let's pray together right now. Oh, Father, we so desperately need You. We know that we could never orchestrate in our own expertise a move of God as was described here in Ezekiel chapter 37. But Father, we ask as humbly as we know how that Your Spirit might have the freedom to move amongst us here in this building today. And Father, during this time of decision, I pray that dry bones will come together, that Your breath will come into each individual, and Father, that we will be renewed and moving forward, unified for Your honor and glory. Father, I pray for souls. I pray for those who have never trusted You, who have never had the Spirit of God take up residence in their life. Father, I pray that they would be saved on this first Sunday, this first Lord's Day in this new year. Father, I pray for those that have been coming and visiting with us and they're looking for a church home. They've been praying about a decision. Father, I pray that You would give them peace about where You would have them serve. And Father, that they would feel Your Spirit not only filling them, but leading them and guiding them. And Father, we ask all of these things in Your matchless and merciful name. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.